When Rose was thinking about having a baby, she knew that she'd have to save up enough money to do so. And not just save the money, but work at a place that will allow her to continue providing for her baby.
One thing I am glad about it is, like, when you're living here, you get to see how parenting is. And here, you have to buy your village. It doesn't come with the package of motherhood or being in a relationship. You have to buy people's time, buy resources for you to be a parent.
The financial implication for raising a child in this day and age is not lost on us. In the song Nerea by Sauti Sol and Amos and Josh, they say that mtoto anakuja na sahani yake, but what they do not say is the amount of work and sacrifices that need to be made for that sahani to be made. But Rose had one thing that was working in her favor. Because of where she lived, she would get a head start. A beautiful, efficient, well-designed head start sponsored by the government, believe it or not. This is Mama Tills, a podcast on our collective motherhood journey. I'm your host, Sally Kuria. If this is your first time tuning in, karibu sana, you have loads and loads of episodes to catch up on. Or you could even just start from here, no pressure. New episodes like this drop every single Tuesday. Well, at least that's a plan. I did miss last week. But we're here. We also have a newsletter that explores more parenting ideas away from this podcast. It is open to contributors. So if you have an idea that you'd like to share with us, let me know by replying to any single issue. You can find a link to them and how to subscribe in the show notes of this episode. You can also catch up with the pod on our socials. You can check out at Mama Tills Podcast on Instagram and TikTok. And if you'd like to get up close and personal with me, do check out my own personal page on Insta at Sally Mugure as well. I tend to have a lot more conversations on there. And thank you to everyone who's reached out at this point sharing their love for this podcast. You really do keep me going. I appreciate you. And for the mothers out there, I know last Sunday was Mother's Day. I really do hope you had a great day. I know I did. I can't imagine that I've been a mother for the past 4 years. This Mother's Day feels extra special, especially because I was using it to also appreciate my mothers. My mom and mom-in-law have been such a light this past few months when things were looking a little bleak. So it felt good taking a moment to thank them for all their love and support. So all in all, a pretty good day. All right, let's dive into today's show. In her 20s, Rose was thinking about marriage. It's a thing we are brought up thinking about. You finish school, you get a job, you get married, and then eventually the kids come along. So when she started dating, she had to constantly analyze her partners to see if they would be fit for marriage, something that she admits she wouldn't focus too much on now, given the chance. Anyway, she eventually found the right person to settle down and start a family with. I think it is at this point that I should let you know that she lives in Sweden. She moved out of Kenya early on in her life and relocated to Sweden to work and set up a life for herself there. When I asked her about her choice of having kids, it turned out to be something that she really had to plan herself for.
One thing I am glad about it is, like, when you're living here, you get to see how parenting is. And here, you have to buy your village. It doesn't come with the package of motherhood or being in a relationship. You have to buy people's time, buy resources for you to be a parent. You have to work around, your job has to work around the child's schedule. Because nannies are very expensive. And then your work schedule, here is a 24-hour economy. So that means you can work whatever time of the day. But also, because the schools are only open between normal time, that limits you, you see. They used to have those special daycares for people who work in healthcare, but then I think during COVID, a lot of them closed, and now there's even higher requirement of why your child should be placed there.
So, when she found her person, her journey to motherhood began.
So we started, we weren't, like, not trying, and we were not trying. We were just swinging it. So when it happened, we were like, okay, yeah. And those were some of the things I was telling my partner then, like, yeah, I feel I'm ready in all aspects for this.
One thing I was very interested in getting into with Rose was her prenatal and postnatal care experience in Sweden versus what we are accustomed to in Kenya. I think you can already imagine that it looks like night and day. But just in case you do not, let me lay down some facts. In Kenya, according to the country's demographic and health survey, about 62% of pregnant women receive antenatal care from a skilled provider at least 4 times during the pregnancy. This suggests that there is still a significant proportion of pregnant women not receiving adequate prenatal care. I didn't really understand what prenatal care when I got pregnant myself. Like 56% of the women from that survey, I attended my first antenatal care visit in my first trimester, 8 weeks to be exact. It was the first time I had to find an OBGYN, and honestly, I just googled. I pulled out my browser and started searching for OBGYN clinics in Nairobi. How did I pick the doctor that I did? Well, I just looked at her picture from the website. It gave me a vibe that I could trust. I called the clinic the next day and got an appointment, and thus started my monthly visits with her. Those early visits were intense. Between my mini tests and constant ultrasound, it felt like it was a very medical journey. I had to prepare myself for every clinic visit. Appointments were a rumor, so it was first come, first serve. I went to this clinic for both of my pregnancies. Each monthly visit cost me around 3,500, not including tests and any medication. Let's not even talk about the eventual cost of childbirth, but I'm part of the lucky few in Kenya who can afford this, or rather those who have access to insurance to cover this cost. What happens to the majority around the country who cannot afford this? This is a question that I found myself asking when Rose started talking about her experience. When she got pregnant, she was referred to a website meant to guide her through her pregnancy.
So this website gives you information. So when maybe you learn like you're pregnant, the first place you'd go is that website. And you're like, okay, this is what I'm to expect. Even before you begin your appointment, then you have to know, okay, from that website, then you know, okay, this is what I'm supposed to do. I'm supposed to like book an appointment with the midwife. And then these midwives are all located separate from the hospital. So it's like, how do you call, you know how we have, in Kenya, we have health clinics. But now these health clinics are only meant for women reproductive health. Men can go there, maybe for blood tests like STI and HIV and all that. But mainly it's meant for women health. Because even the people working there, they specialize in women health. So this is where you can get your contraceptives, your contraceptive information. And they also like do your prenatals. So once you get to this website, you can choose anywhere you want to go within the whole country. So if you want to be flying there, if you feel that's the best one, if you want to go the one that is next door, and you can always change your doctor, your midwife at any point. If you feel, okay, our vibe, and I don't like how you're treating me like maybe a nobody, or you don't respect, or you feel discriminated, you're free. And you don't even have to give a reason. You can just walk away. So that's another thing. So yeah, so once you find out you're pregnant, you go to this midwife center. And then from the midwife center, then they do the pregnancy test if you need one to like verify, yes, the one I bought was not expired. From there, then you discuss, like they do the chatting of your menstrual cycle and all that. Then they give you a calendar of the appointments that you need. At the beginning, there is not a lot of appointments. They have to ask you your lifestyle, and they maybe advise you. They cannot make you. They cannot make you stop drinking. They cannot stop you smoking. They cannot stop you, but they advise you because that's the baseline requirement that they have given. So with that information, when you get it, then you're also given the the supplements. And then, yeah, from there, then that's when you come back at 8 weeks. After 8 weeks or somewhere around there, unless you have a complication before that, you can always drop in. But the midwife, they don't deal with the medical issues. So if you get a problem before then, your next appointment, you're supposed to go to the place where you give birth. I know, these words, when I translate it, it's just best if I say it that way, because It is a hospital, but it's a whole department. Like how would you say? A whole building on itself in the hospital. Unaona kama Kenya National Hospital venye iko. Now, there is a whole building dealing with women. Like,
interesting.
Like, the
so maternity is there.
Yes.
Reproductive health is there. Yeah. So it's like
the doctor's midwife center. Birth center.
Medical.
A bigger birth center that is medical, because birth centers are not medical. Yes. It reduces the workload of the hospital. Because if you're just going for checkup, bono ushinde ukiingia hosi. There is somebody who needs that time. So just go to the midwife if you're having normal checkup. Just your blood is being checked, your sugar is being checked. Just go to somebody who will do that without going to the hospital where they need that time for somebody else. So if something happens before the 8 weeks, that's where you would go for the, what is it called, abortion? If something happens to the... They still call it abortion, even though you didn't do abortion. They should find a new word for that. It's hurting for the women who wanted to keep that child and couldn't. Yeah, so yeah. So that's where you go. They give you the medicine. I don't think anybody is hospitalized unless it's over 8 weeks. So in the midwife, that's now the appointment starts getting regular. And... you are allowed to ask as many questions as you can. Be ignorant. Be like, you don't know anything. Because ukijifanya mjuaji, if you say you are know-it-all, then you won't actually get the facts of how it is in this country. Tuseme, like, I've heard from my friends and everybody how it is. But that's their experience. But then there is the reality of how the baseline of everything is. So, yeah. So be don't be too knowledgeable. Be, is it naive or ignorant? Whichever the word is. And go ask questions. And also, being that this is maybe is your first time, being getting a child in this country, I would also like ask questions of how everything goes, because I realized, like, since we don't know, we have a fear that is going to affect the final, like when you're giving birth. Because if you don't know, okay, what happens when your labor starts? What happens when things don't go the way they are supposed to go? Who are you supposed to, you know, all this? Because by that time, it's just you and your partner, or just you. Imagine if you started your maternity leave and your partner is at work. You are your own savior. You have to do everything. You have to think as, you have to do all the thinking as well as the birth process is going on. So you have to, those are the things that you're given 9 months. This is what I usually say. You're given 9 months. Use those 9 months as time to collect knowledge and information. So, for example, okay, now when in Sweden, the as people are closing to the 9 months, people start getting off work and they have more free time. So there are courses that are offered by the midwife, where they give you practical knowledge, practical information about what to expect from when you go to labor and what to expect in the first year. Because the midwife is not the same one who sees your baby after they are born and start clinics. So they give you a lot of practical information that helps you, like, navigate. Okay, when I told you they cannot do anything for you medically. Even after the 8 weeks, if something happens, there is a number you should call, and the hospital number. It's like, you see, a hotline, and like the 911, but for pregnant women. So this number gives you access to that hospital, and then they will... they will help you or give you information whether you should go to the hospital or you should wait it out, or they can analyze how urgent your case is. So all these small information, that number is very important for everybody to have and to know. And that's the same number you call when you are going on to labor, when your labor starts. Let's say you're at home and your labor starts, don't go to the hospital. It's a waste of time. They don't want you there until maybe you're 9 centimeters or almost giving birth. They refuse to admit you. They will tell you, no, go do some more walking. Go home and, rest. But you can also tell them, okay, the pain is not manageable. Can you give me something as I continue to labor at home? You can ask for that. But trust me, don't go there when you just feel like, ooh, kauchungu kamekuja. Ay! They want to reserve that bed and the resources for somebody who needs it.
Now, the idea that such infrastructure and care can exist seems very out of reach for us here. But it really shouldn't be. Well, that's what Linda Mama was meant to be. Launched back in 2013, this government-sponsored initiative is meant to provide basic maternal care to women who are in need. I took a look at what the program offers, and it seems pretty comprehensive. It offers antenatal profiles where they test for your blood group, HIV status, hemoglobin levels, the works. Regular clinic visits and jabs like tetanus and malaria preventions are done. Furthermore, postnatal care is also covered. 48 hours after birth, a new mom gets supplements, vitamin A and K. In the first 2 weeks, she gets screening for cervical cancer, STIs, and probably how they're healing. In 4 to 6 months, moms have access to family planning options. Now, all of this is meant to be free, but there are reports that women still have to go into their pockets to get these services. Also, its fate in this new regime is also in question. For Rose, everything was free, even childbirth.
Everything is free. All the visits, wow. The only thing you have to buy are the prenatal. And I think, and also, if you buy medicine, like if you're diabetic or you have a, you know, like, I don't know why Africans have higher rate of preeclampsia or something like that. That is also something they test more on in migrants. I don't know if they test it on the white people, but that's also something they test. So such medication that is going to cost you more than, let's say, I don't know if the cut has gone up, but it used to be at 1500. Let's just call it 1500, and you know it's our money. So at 1500, if within 1 year you pay more than 1500 of the prescribed medicine, the government covers the rest of the cost. So let's say you are diabetic and you're pregnant and you've been using, you know, these are medicine you jab yourself every, I don't know how often. Like within a month, of course, that cap will have gone, like, utakuwa umemaliza. Can you imagine having to cover that for 9 months? So yeah, those are the kind of costs that are, yeah, it's free. It's free. The only thing that is not free is the bed in the hospital. I don't know why. It's so paranoid. They charge you the bed. That's all.
I mean, I have a question. Do you think, like, why do you think, in your own opinion, that there's this much care on, like, on prenatal and just, like, is it a sense to try and get people to get pregnant a lot more or to show some support? Because I'm like, I know it, they can't do that all the way through. Like, you can't, like you said, you can't go on until... when your child is done, they're not going to pay for your childcare and stuff like that. But is there some sort of encouragement for people to just get pregnant?
Before, as I had before, my aunt who used to live here, she, you know, when you come to Kenya, you want to hear all the so weird stories of why is your country like the different? What is different? And she used to tell us there was a time that, and now it's when we are realizing that. That's why there's so many workers coming into the country. There was a very big gap between the people who are going to retire and the people who are still in school. So there was no work, there is no workforce. So what they did to encourage the people is to tell them, okay, we are going to give you a certain amount of money to help you while raising your child. That's the story I had. I'm not sure if it's the facts, but that's the word on the street. you know. So then, so I that encouraged people to have more kids, because the standard is 1500. Right now, what you I get for my son in Sweden is like 1200. But because I work in Copenhagen, Denmark, okay, it's like 10 minutes away. My tax is paid there. That means his child support on my side comes from there and his dad. So I'm not sure how much, if both of us were working in Sweden, how much it is. But I think it's almost, because what I was told is like, they give you the Swedish child support and then they top up. The Danish top up with what is left. Because in Denmark, when the child is under 2 or under 5, they get more money because, yeah, life is expensive there.
When she got close to delivery, one of the last things that she did during her last visit at the maternity center was write up a birth plan, something all pregnant women are encouraged to write. They're also asked up to write what they would want to happen in case they have a C-section. Her labor started like all of ours did, especially being a first-time mom. She didn't know she was in labor. She woke up in high spirits, had a busy day, and decided to end the day with a walk to the mall. She didn't sleep well that night, felt super uncomfortable, and chalked it up to her tedious small escapades. But by the morning, she had lost her mucus plug and started feeling the contractions more. After a couple of hours laboring at home, they decided it was time to go to the birth center. She had to really play up her contractions to get admitted, but eventually she was, got some medication and tried to get some sleep. However, her contractions started going down and they woke her up to get moving, to get things going again. Her labor room was massive, the same one that she would deliver in, and it was full of everything a laboring woman would need. Eventually, she was fully dilated and gave birth to her son.
So I pick up my son. They lower the bed so I can at least be able to go on top. And this thing of holding your child, I don't know which movies this umbilical cord always comes up here. My child was on my, I could hold him up to my stomach. I couldn't bring him to my chest. He was here.
Long enough.
No, he so alikuwa nimemshikia hapo kwa tumbo. So I put him on the bed and then I go up. Because the baby is slim, funny. And you know, so yeah. And then when he's there, they put a blanket on him and rub him. He's there screaming. And then, because I don't want them to cut the umbilical cord, we turn around. I turn around and I put him on my stomach. And then I tell them, no cutting. So we are there. And then, because they are not supposed to cut, one, I wanted the placenta to come out with the whole of it before they even cut it. So they did that. The birth of the placenta was not painful. It was like within 10 minutes. So at least by then, you see the baby has received all the blood. And so they say, okay, let's see if it's outside. Because sometimes it's just at the cervix waiting to come out. They just poop and it comes out. Yeah, so the dad cut the cord. They were able to, they show me I told them, okay, I'd like to see where he was living. They picked up because they also have to examine it to make sure nothing has been left. They took it up, show me where he's been inside, how the placenta, you know that big part where, yeah, the one that's attached to the baby, the side that is on your side, all that. We stayed in the hospital for 2 days. Okay, there's this thing in Sweden where they bring you a sandwich, the Swedish sandwich, like I said, and champagne. But the champagne is like a bubbly soda, like pop.
On an alcoholic. So they do that every time you give birth, they give you a sandwich and, man, Sweden.
In Sweden, working women are eligible to 1 year maternity leave, where they receive 80% of their pay. The support does not just end there. Once a child is born, postpartum care is available in the same center and goes beyond the clinic visits we're used to. What I loved about Rosa's experience was the idea that it is possible for us to experience comprehensive maternal care. I know Europe is miles ahead in terms of development, but it is a benchmark that exists and something that I hope my daughter, or to be even more realistic, my daughter's daughter, can experience that in her own country. I know that populations are dwindling in Europe, and that's why they're so keen on maternal care, to encourage more women to give birth. But we cannot sit here and act like many women now are excited about being mothers. This is a reality here too. Women are becoming mothers much later in their lives. Many of us are giving birth to one or two children only because society doesn't wait for a woman to become a mother. It goes on without you and it penalizes you for that. So, is it really our fault if we have to weigh in the massive sacrifices too? I want to thank Rose for taking the time to bring us into her world. And thank you so much for listening this far. I've got loads and loads of amazing episodes coming up. Matter of fact, I'm very excited to share with you the next episode that's coming up in the next couple of episodes. In them, I sit down with two amazing women who are constantly being told that they're too old to become mothers. It is definitely gonna get you thinking. So, catch you in the next one. Bye.